Teaching today, for those of you taking notes, poured out unto the Lord.
Amen.
Poured out unto the Lord. I want us to look to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, and I want us to primarily look at verses 12 through to 17. And now this is King David with his mighty men of valor, and David is avenging against the enemy, and he's putting down the Gibeonites, and of course dealing with the Philistines, the giants, the sons of Anak, destroying them and so on. And then he, in chapter 22, starts to give praise to God for deliverance, and it's sort of like a psalm that comes out here. And after that, then, of course, they continue to press on as they do. Sadly, of course, David does make a big mistake by making a census of Israel, which, of course, he shouldn't have done that, counting, and was chastened for that. However, we all make mistakes, and like David and all the patriarchs, we can identify, and we too have also made mistakes as well, have we not? But 2 Samuel 23, and I want to look at verse 12 through to 17, and it says here, "But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Then 3 of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troops of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, 'Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' So the 3 mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem, and was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, 'Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the 3 mighty men.'" And so it goes on. And I'm calling this today, "Poured out unto the Lord." It's interesting that Bethlehem in Hebrew is the house, or the house of bread, or the house of God. And of course we know that King David came out of Bethlehem, and Jesus born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the living bread, made flesh, that we can partake of that bread, the bread of life. So it's very interesting. It speaks of a giving. It speaks of a house of food, giving. And not only that, but the well at Bethlehem was water. And interesting that, of course, we all need water to live, to survive. And we have a lovely, lovely story here. Here again we see this man's heart. These men of valour risked their lives going down to get water for David, who was thirsty. Right in the camp of the Philistines, that's not something you did. You don't do that sort of thing. But they risked everything of which to go and just give their master some water to quench his thirst. But David was so touched by that he didn't, because he saw a deeper meaning of what these men had done. And as a result of it, he was led and moved by God to pour it out to the Lord as an offering. And that's what I want us to focus on today. Is your life and my life a life that is poured out unto God? That's the question. What has the water from the well of Bethlehem been like for you recently? What has it done for you? Have you taken of it because you're thirsty? It's what you want, it's what I need? Or have you seen a deeper meaning that's behind these wells that God has? Have you taken from it at a risk to the point of even damaging your own soul? Or just simply satisfying self? Because I want to show today what these rivers of living water, how powerful they are. And we're not always aware of them. We sometimes hear about it. We hear about water, these wells of living water, springing up, springing forth and so forth. But I trust today that we're going to be starting to look at this in a bit of a different light. But how have we been taking from these waters? Has it been a risk to the soul, or is it just simply satisfying self? Because if that is the case, then you cannot pour out to the Lord. You can never give it to God to bless. And that is the reason why out of our innermost being flows these rivers of living water. This living water is for a purpose and a reason. And if only you see these waters that come, these blessings that come, are simply just for me, my family, my life, my wants, my needs, we have failed to understand. We have failed to understand the heart of our Father. We fail to understand what these living waters are all about. Remember, it is the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem stands for. And in many ways, this assembly is like a house of bread. We break that bread. When we have communion, what we do, we break that bread together. And it is shared together. And that is where the blessing lies. That is when water will begin to flow. This is when we begin to see lives touched, people healed, delivered, and so forth. Because it is shared amongst the living God. It isn't for one person. The same as my ministry is shared with you, and your ministries share with each other. We've had gifts manifesting today to share. Our fellowship is about sharing. And we have to really understand this, because that's what makes it alive. Deserts can only come alive when water goes in and replenishes it. This is why, sadly, we have so much desert around us in Christendom. Dry and barren. A famine of hearing the word of God, because there's no water there. And you can't survive that long. If any of you have ever been into the desert, and I've been in the Sahara Desert, what the first thing that I thought to myself, oh, I don't want to get lost here. No way. My word. You can soon die out there. It's unbelievable. And not only that, you long to see vegetation. You long to see some greenery. So, and yet they are conditions that so many of our brothers and sisters are living in today, and even charismatics. And they're fighting and squabbling over the word and so on. And they will do that because there's no living water to replenish. Their lives, they've not learnt to see that our life must be poured out to God. And that is the key to this. And you see, God can never bless if there's no water. There's nothing to multiply, to glorify God's name and others. And eventually, if there's no water, it turns dry, sour, bitter. And we've seen fellowships, churches ripped apart because of this sin, this problem. Oh yes, Jesus was mentioned. Oh yes, there were prayers. But there was no water being poured out to touch other lives. You have been baptized into this church as a gift to touch other lives. Your brother, your sister, the person you sit next to and everything. You say, me? Surely not. Yes. God just doesn't show us often this water that's flowing out. But it's there. And it touches lives. And that's the whole point. The key to prosperity is pour it out before God. Everything that I have been blessed with, everything in prosperity, is to be poured out to God. Same as King David there was being blessed by his servants, bringing that water, but he saw a deeper meaning. He saw, yes, I can take of this, but I'll pour this out to God. And thank God he did pour it out to God, because that's what kept them alive, survived. That's what kept them in the victory, rooting out the enemy. We have to be healthy, alive, to fight, to root out the enemy. As we're no good for warfare. Because it's the same principle. They were fighting against the enemy. We, the church, are fighting against the enemy. And the only way the enemy is destroyed is when, through blessing, prosperity, we pour it out unto God. Because Satan can't emulate that one. Because that's from the throne of God. That's God's heart. It's the sacrifice. And you pour it out, this sacrifice, before God. And that comes against common sense. Many times people will say, that's absolutely crazy. What a waste that is to do a thing like that. You need that. Your children need that. The church needs that, or whatever it is. And yet here it was, in a desert. Water that is precious. And he pours it out to God because he knows God will provide. Amen. And that is the key. I'm reminded of a story in this. We all know it well. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. And let's take it up from verse 36. Wonderful story of this sinful woman that is forgiven. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And that was costly, by the way, a lot of money. And stood at his feet, behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet, and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw that he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair on her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who can forgive sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Poured out to the Lord. She gave probably the most expensive thing in possession that she had. And she gave it out. She poured it out. And what do we see there? A woman, sinner, prostitute, does this act. And God is right in it. Because God's about to save. God is about to teach. God is about to use this experience in which to touch lives. This is water being poured out, a sacrifice. And look how God sets the scene. And this, I am convinced that this is where we're going to see the greater works coming. When it is poured out in sacrifice. And when we have that heart, that desire, we take no thought for ourselves, our provisions, where our money's going to come from, when will the bill be paid, will I have this, will I have that. When we let go of all of that, then we will see these rivers of living water started to be poured out, and we will see God preparing these scenes. You won't have to prepare it. It will be prepared by our Heavenly Father. Jesus just simply moved by faith like he did, invited to Simon, and there God prepares that scene right in front of those hard hearts of the Pharisees.
Glory.
Same for us. That's what God's going to do. He will do it. And the only way this is going to happen is to settle it before God. Sometimes it's just a willfulness. Do I really need this? Or shall I pour this out to God as an offering? See, that's the question. We have a choice. It's not flagrant sin. That's not what we're talking about. It's making that choice that glorifies God. David made that choice. He could have said, thank you guys, I really appreciate what you've done. You have risked your life, everything, you know, thank you. He didn't. He poured it out to God. Because he knew it is those rivers of living water that bring life where there is death. Because without water, you can't survive. You can survive if you can survive a certain time with food, but you can't survive very long without liquid, without water. You mark my words. It's vital for life. You see, there is things in life that are too precious. There are things in life that have no value. You can't place anything on something like this. Can you place any value on your salvation? Can you place any value that God first loved you, loved me? There are just some things that are so precious. What David did there, you can't put a price on that. And there are things in your life, if you move with God, that you cannot put a price or value to anything what you do before God, because it's poured out in sacrifice. And that dismisses the God of this world, money, that men and women lust for. See, God's showing us higher principles all the time, isn't he? Hallelujah. And when you pour it out to the Lord, then it becomes what we read in John 7, verse 38. In John 7, verse 38, that you know, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You can't put any value to that, because it's living waters. You see, we can lust, can't we, for many things. It's not always necessarily sin. Sometimes we've used, oh, God gives me the desires of my heart. But I wonder how many times that scripture has been used misappropriately.
Yeah.
Not really for God's glory. Not really that God is going to bless you, that you sacrifice it, you pour it out as a blessing. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to learn one thing with God. You can never, ever outgive God.
Right.
And yet we become so anxious, we become so concerned, and so on. This is a big, big lesson, particularly with the environment that we live in the West, where it's so materialistic. I think Brother Bob will agree with me. That issue isn't so much of a problem. I mean, it's there, but it's not the same as it is in the West. They have to believe God. They sometimes can go 2 or 3 days without food. They trust the Lord. Whereas when you come into the West, you see the materialism and you can see how much it occupies our time, our thinking, our effort, our energies and so forth. And they're the very thing that God is saying, let go. When you find yourself getting anxious or you find something's happening, whatever it is, you may need to just say to yourself out loud, let go. It's letting go. It's not just words, it is letting go. It is letting go of the anxiety of it. It is letting go of the fear of it. It's letting go of the mind just dwelling. You know how the mind, you know, it works over time, you know? Because I tell you, I've been going through all of this. And, you know, and the Lord kept saying to me through my trial, let go. But I have let go. You know, I have, until finally the penny dropped. I wasn't letting go. Oh, I'd let go in the sense that circumstances force you to let go. But I had not let go in the heart. And therefore what was still in the heart was affecting in the mind. sleepless nights, not sleeping as I should. Why? Because I haven't let go. Thinking, mulling it over. Anxiety. What if it doesn't? We've only got a week to go, and that's all holding on. That's holding on. You've got to let go of the whole lot and trust God. And then those rivers of living water start to take over. And sometimes it's a willful act. Sometimes it's saying, I refuse in the name of Jesus to dwell on this anymore. I am not going to let fear and anxiety take over. My God will supply all my needs. He will not let me go. It's our assurance of our salvation, yes, that God loves us.
Amen.
That's all he's trying to work in our lives and hearts. Sometimes we're just not sure. We think, what happened to so-and-so? You know, what happened to them? Well, leave them with God. It's about you.
Yeah.
You mustn't look to what's happened to other people. How the devil tries to get us looking to other people. Well, it went wrong for them, didn't it? Look what's happened to them now. Well, that isn't you. That's the whole point. And if they have gone off course or whatever it is, you've got the greatest blessing, and that is pray for them. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. And look how the enemy works, isn't it? And how he tries to work in the mind and so on. But you know, we can lust for many things, and it's not necessarily sin. But you see, love, God's love, is going to transform. And he's going to transform his love and make it an offering. That's what his love does. When God's love is present, God has a way of transforming and making that an offering. You have so much to offer back to God. I can confidently say that because out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. It's interesting about rivers, water, isn't it? Because rivers reach places that you and I can't always reach. It's interesting. So what comes out of you can reach and touch in areas you can't even get to. Yeah. But how God can work that. And no finer way than the word of God, the seed that is sown, and how that seed is planted. And then others, when they hear it, they take it and they go. And so it all spreads and is taken to the four corners of the earth.
Christ.
Where you could never get there. But that's what water does. It will reach those places that you and I can't reach. It reaches places where we never thought possible. You know? I would never thought, you know, where the gospel has gone, the teaching has gone, or is going. I would never have thought it possible. You see, these rivers of living water is receiving his fullness. And that makes this achievable for everyone. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, because this tells us how it is possible. In Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is that? That's the rivers of living water. This very message we're preaching today. Thank God for technology. Going out. God knows. God knows where it's going to reach. And you know, we have nothing to do with that outflow. And evangelism needs to learn that one. Because water is going to go wherever it wants to flow. It is not controlled. It is not manipulated. It is not organized. It is like the air. When there's a torrent of water, water will move and go in places and crevices that you and I could never plan or think or even get to. That's what it does. And he says, here, he says, you have received power from on high through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that this water will flow through. Let's turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. And verse 29, John 6 and verse 29. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And it is all on the basis of simply believing. Don't look at your life. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't even look at this assembly or whatever it is. It will always look a failure. But you have been empowered from on high by the Holy Spirit. And your life, if you are living that principle and your life is poured out and it is that sacrifice, you are touching more lives than you ever realize. God just doesn't show you half the time, because we don't always see where water's going. That's why. See, rivers are persistent, aren't they? Rivers will continue to flow. Rivers will overcome all barriers. Rivers will never stop, never be stopped by any obstacle. And if it can't go through it, then it'll go round it. Whatever way, water will flow. And that is how you walk. That is how you believe. That is how you overcome, simply choosing to believe. And God will do it. And believe me, he'll do it. Amen. And God even will make a pathway. And if need be, he'll even remove it. Whatever way, because that water is going to flow. Because water has got to replenish. Water gives life. It's water is needed for the seed that is sown. As you won't get any seed, you won't get anything produced. You see. Our rivers for a while might disappear. Our rivers might look as though they've gone. Where are they? Where are you, Lord? Have you left me? Have you forsaken me? Which just they've disappeared. They're going round a different route. But they'll be seen again in time. But they're still running. They're still running, you see. And we mustn't be put off. We're not always going to be on those mountaintops, as I keep saying. We're sometimes in those demon-possessed valleys. And that's where you learn to walk by faith. Amen. That's where you start to hear the shepherd's voice. That's where you really are trained. But God knows just how long to keep us there. And then, praise God, it'll take us up again. And when we go up and we can look out and everything, after that deep valley, you think, Lord, what a work you've done. What a change. You, every time you go up from the valley, every time you go back up onto the mountains, you always have a new vision. You always see it differently to what you saw it before. That's how we grow. That's how God works with us. He's changing us from glory into glory, you see. But those rivers might go for a while, but I tell you, they're persistent. They'll appear. You see, rivers are persistent. They overcome all barriers. They're not stopped by any obstacle. A torrent of water is never stopped by any obstacle. Did you know that? It will move. And it will have a way of either going through or going around and so on. It'll keep moving. You see, the sea, rivers are always moving all the time. Waterfalls are a result of water that is moving all the time. That's why we are attracted to them. That's why people are attracted to places where there's running water or waterfalls or whatever it is. There's something spiritual about it. And families will stay there and picnic and spend the day just because there's trickling water. I love to hear the sound of trickling water. I really do, you know, because I know what it's all about, what it represents, you see. And you see, this is where our faith and prayers come in. Even when we don't see the water for a while, it looks as though it disappears. That's why God has given us prayer, a prayer life, intercession, so that we get into prayer. So that eventually our prayers, intercessions, we get a glimpse again of these waters that, yes, are running. It's just that we haven't seen them for a while. That's often why we pray, because we haven't seen God's glory. We haven't seen things happening. Things have gone all dry. That's why we pray, we intercede. But our faith says we'll see those waters again. Because we know they flow. They're always there, you see. These rivers are life. They're healing. They're blessing. They touch our whole being. That's why, and he flows through you and I. Because it's Jesus. That's what we're on about. Hence this great commission that we have in Mark 16, as I close with this. Mark 16, 14 to 18. Later he appeared to the leaven as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Poured out unto the Lord. Is that what you want, brothers and sisters?
Yes, please.
Because that is what your life is. Your life is that sacrifice. Your life is that water coming through the baptism of the Spirit. This is why I make so much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The empowerment from on high, because it brings the life. It brings that living water. It touches. It changes. It heals, and you are the vessels for it. And if you are saying, "Well, nothing's happened much in my life, Pastor," then be that outpouring, be that sacrifice, give it back to God. And I will tell you, you can never outgive God. He's bringing each one of us to that place. We've been going through a season where he's taking us through, where he's getting us to let go. We've got to let go if he takes over. All the while you want to be in control, you can never sacrifice, and it can never be poured out through you. But when you let go, it then takes over. The Lord sort of gave me an impression of this. You know these dams that they build? Well, they control these dams. That's man's effort. But they have gates attached to them. And they control it by how much, of course, they open the gate. So that the water cascades down. We're like that. We're still in control. We're still in control. We're still hindering the amount of water cascading through. There's a torrent. You cannot outgive God. There's no beginning, no end with God. This water, these everlasting waters, never run dry. Open the gates, the floodgates, full, completely. Open them right up. That opening up is your heart.
That's right.
Simply choosing to believe. Don't work it out. Just believe, and that water will bring life.
Glory. Praise the Lord.
Father, we again thank you. Such simple analogies, but so profound. They're simple, Lord, and that's why often we miss it. But Father, we want to thank you today for the way you have blessed your presence. One has sensed, Father, another plateau we've moved to. It means we're closer to you. It means we're closer to possessing the promised land. We have sensed your approval here today, your delight. I sensed, Father, this has been pleasing to you.
Thank you, Lord.
It's come up as fragrance. And Father, I want to thank you for this. Thank you, Father, for your word that gives us life. Father, you know how to work with us. You know where each of us are in the faith. But our heart's desire is to pour out that offering. To be that sacrifice, Father. That's why we take up our cross daily and follow you. Because you can then do something with it. You can put life into it. It multiplies. It's like water. It will go and it will replenish. It will go wherever you send it to, Father. Because that water can never be stopped. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. I pray, Lord, that we will not let you down. That we will rise up to all these challenges, all that you show us, Father. We rise up in our faith and we go forward, Lord. We don't limit you. We just, with that simple childlike faith, choose to believe. And whatever we're still trying to hold on, we let go of it. We let go. Because you will never forsake us nor leave us. Because you first loved us. And so, Lord, we are anchored in your security, in your love, Father, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Mighty God.
Victory, and Jesus is day.